There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. There's no question about it. We need your help. We need your support. We need your Christian loving hard-earned money to keep things rolling and rolling like Jesus wants things to roll. It's important. It's imperative. We have to have these dollars to keep things going. It's the only way it's going to work is with your support. Tithing, supporting our message, folks. It's in the Bible. It's in Scripture. It's important.
In life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
I couldn't have said it better myself, ladies and gentlemen. See, even the world knows the truth. Your love sends me thrills, but it won't pay my bills. I want money. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, today's date is the 30th of July, 2013, and it is exactly 3 minutes and 32 seconds after the hour, and this is the Abiding Presence Radio Show. If you were wondering, we're here in the barn, and Jim is right here with me. But there's a real profound message in that older rock and roll song, I Want Money. Tonight we're going to be talking about tithing, or as I commonly call it, tithing. And it's not just about how much you give, but it's why you give, when you give, should you give. And it really is a very interesting part of your spiritual life, your Christianity, because like everything else in a structure in a building, religious organizations, it's been manipulated. It's been twisted. It's convoluted. Now, whether it was done maliciously or if it was just done from the blind leading the blind and misinformation over 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth and the scriptures were born, that's really not the point. The point is that ask and you shall receive. All prayers are granted. And tithing, you reap what you sow. There's a connection. It's like multicolored fabric being sewn together to make one of grandma's quilts. It's like different colored yarn that by themselves they're different colored, but yet in the hands of a craftsman, they're weaved and they're woven and they're macrameed into something like a coat or gloves or a jacket or a blanket for a baby. This is the true Christian message, is to take the different things from Scripture and use them the way they're supposed to be used, not to segregate them for the purpose of material possessions or a bigger, better vacation home. Or new carpeting or drapes. Think of it this way. If you're God, if you're Grace, the Holy Spirit, if you're one of the guys, and you afford someone a blessing, and it's not really used in a grace-based Christian manner, what real motivation is there to continue? We've all experienced this in our lives. Someone's asked us for $10 or $20 or $100. They've asked us to pay a bill, and we find that the money is used other than what they asked for, or part of it was and part of it wasn't. You feel cheated. You feel disrespected. You feel that, well, this is the last time this is going to happen. And this old colloquial saying, once bitten, twice shy. Shame on you the first time. Shame on me the second time. There's always misfortune in life. But yet, let's talk about your Christian life and tithing. Because, Jim, all over in Scripture, it talks about a bountiful harvest. And if you sow big, you'll receive big. And if you sow small, your harvest will be small. But yet, that's really taken out of context. Because in so many ways, Jim, Scripture is really trying to say that it's more about what you do with what you have. And it really makes sense. If you're using your time and your energy and your life to the best of your ability to really have testimonies, and testimonies is using grace and really taking it out and working it, well, then Christ is going to afford you with more opportunities to do that.
Yeah, this is a real good subject tonight, because I really do think that materialism is the greatest problem that we have in the church, one of the greatest problems, and it certainly has distorted this message tremendously. God, no doubt about it, when you look back in the book of Genesis, and we can see the book of Genesis we use so many times as a point of reference, you can see that God is a God of abundance. There's nothing that God ever did in creation where it was done haphazardly. He didn't finish his job. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So we could use a lot of scriptures to keep on supporting the fact that God is a God of abundance. But the first thing that we need to recognize is, even though the earth was definitely created in abundance, and it is, even to this day, there's an abundance. The thing that was most abundant in Adam's life was his fellowship with God. In other words, the spiritual connection that man has with God is the most abundant and the greatest riches that man can experience. And like everything else, it's the same thing for prosperity or for abundance or provision in your own life. The greatest way that provision works is when your heart has a great connection or a relationship or fellowship with God. Just like when Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, notice there's a connection there with the Spirit of God, and out of that connection, things begin to take place. For instance, the idea as far as divine healing, where we put so much of our focus on trying to get a healing when we should just be really enjoying the fellowship that is there with the Spirit, our Spirit, and God's Spirit, because out of our belly or out of the Spirit flows the issues of life or flows health and wholeness to your whole man. Well, it's the same thing as far as when we're dealing with prosperity. In fact, a good scripture to start out with is one that I have at the top of my notes. In 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, above all things, I desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So notice there that the emphasis, you may think, is on financial prosperity or healing in the body, but that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is your soul prospering, or in other words, your relationship with God becoming more real, more tangible, more experiential. And what are the results of God in your life in a greater way, in a greater measure? Well, it's provision and health to your body. So tonight, I think we want to talk about pluses and minuses of the prosperity, and I don't even want to call it the prosperity message, but just finances or prosperity or increase. And then we want to cover some of the nuances of tithing or giving, where we have maybe put all of our emphasis on just money, when what about giving of your, or in other words, and I want BJ to talk about this. I really enjoyed when we talked earlier how he mentioned this, just the tithing of your spiritual experience with God to other people. The time that you have as a spirit with God and your experiences, tithing that.
Yeah, there's a direct correlation that somehow is lost in the day. And what I mean, it's lost in the day, I mean it's lost in the jobs, the school, the homework, the part-time jobs, the hobbies, the pastimes, the family obligations, and also the Bible studies, the Sunday schools, and the Sunday and Wednesday and Friday, Saturday night worships. There's just no time for anything new. And that's unfortunate, because it's not something new. It's actually something old. It's actually 2,000 years old. And it's part of that recipe that keeps people from having prayers answered. It's part of that recipe that keeps somebody from sitting down on a Tuesday night on their front porch, watching the sunset, having a conversation with Jesus about the day and how wonderful it is to be a child of God. It's a misrepresentation and a confusion of what prosperity is. Now, one reason why small children, senior citizens, people in prison, people on a desert island, somebody floating around in a raft, or buried in a coal mine, or in a hospital room, one of the reasons why they seem to have such a more accurate and fast relationship as a Christian, and why they seem to have amazing results, is because the only prosperity that they're interested in is making it to another day, eliminating the pain, getting past the fear. You talk to somebody that's dying, and they never really ask for more money or more vacation days or a bigger house. They always talk about how they wish they had more time with their grandchildren, or they would have went to more little league games, more sporting events when their kids were small, had the family over for more holidays, or how they really should have put their personal feelings aside and went to a few family get-togethers. It's a regret of time wasted. It shows what's really valuable, because In Scripture, it talks about gold and silver and trappings, but very small amounts, because the real harvest, the real bounty of being a Christian is not gold and silver. It's about having the endless, boundless, unlimited love of Christ that you can tap into and not just enjoy, but share with others.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the real bounty of a grace.
Yeah, I've got a verse here, Genesis 9:7. This is talking to Noah, where God said in verses 1 and 2, he blessed Noah and his sons. This is after the flood. And he said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth. And then in verse 7 it said, you're here to bear fruit, reproduce, lavish life on the earth, and live bountifully. But now think about that, live bountifully. We would interpret that today to money, cars, homes.
It's a different kind of bounty, Jim.
Right, right, exactly. And that's my point is, and this isn't to do away with the fact that there is provision from God, but living bountifully right here, the first and foremost, when I look at that and I look at Adam and Eve in the garden, the bountifulness of their life was their time spent with God.
Food, water, shelter, and God.
Yep.
And notice that part of their punishment was clothing and having to raise food and having to provide shelter for themselves. That was part of the spanking of God in Genesis.
Yeah, that's right.
So having more clothes or better clothes is not a blessing. It was part of the punishment of Adam and Eve. You know, if you think of, and now I'm going to get very specific. We have people that listen to your show all over the world, and thank you very much, by the way. It's a wonderful compliment to Jim and myself and my dog Ranger. But think of it this way. I remember being a kid and listen to my grandmother talk with other grandmothers and other women that were, they'd be talking about men in the barn while I was working with horses or my grandmother was in the barn or whatever. And they were talking about, and this is what they would ask. They'd say, oh, do you know so-and-so? Well, I'm thinking about, you know, getting serious with him. And they would say, does he have a job? And they'd say, yeah. He has a job. Does he have a place to live? Yep, he's got a place to live. Does he have a car? Yep, he's got a car. Oh, well, that sounds like a great guy. Because it didn't matter if you worked in a bank or you were a janitor and you cleaned bathrooms. It was, do you have a job? Do you go somewhere? Are you self-sufficient? Are you participating? Now, you fast forward to July 30th of 2013, you don't have that conversation anymore. Well, he's an assistant manager at a pizza parlor. Really? I hope that's just until he finds a career, right? I mean, he's not going to make a career of being an assistant manager in a pizza parlor, is he? Well, he's got a nice apartment and he's got a nice used car. Really? You don't think you can do better than that? Because now it's, what kind of car does somebody drive? What kind of job do they have? What kind of house do they have? What do their clothes look like? We have lost through misinformation of a religious nature. We have lost our humanity. And not only have we lost our humanity, but we've also lost our spirituality through time. Very slowly, we've altered the reality of a human being to the point where it isn't about whether someone has good personal hygiene. If they're honest, can they be trusted? Can they provide a hot meal in the winter? Can they provide shade in the summer? That's not enough anymore for us. But yet the bounty and live prosperous that's talked about in Scripture, that's exactly what it is. Food, water, shelter, emotional, spiritual support of each other so that you can enjoy each other in the love of Christ. There's no room in there for a shopping mall.
Well, when I look through the Word of God and I look through the word in retrospect of this subject. There is a positive and there's definitely a negative when we talk about what people want to say, prosperity or finances. On one hand, you see so many people and you see over and over again the children of Israel being financially blessed, being well taken care of. Their provision was abundant. And then on the other hand, you see multiple warnings in Scripture about the love of money being a root of all evil. And of course, it didn't say money is, but it says the love of money. About that you can't serve God and mammon at the same time, which is you can't serve God and money at the same time. And there's multiple other warnings that we'll get to here where Jesus talking and the Apostle Paul talking, different ones making suggestions and warning strictly, be real careful of the mindset of materialism and of this world, because that will rob you of the grace of God or your connection with God, the life of God that flows through your being. So on both hands, we have to present some of these things tonight. And here's my blanket statement that I'm going to use. When I look through the Scriptures and I see people being blessed, the number one thing that I see is the individual seeking to have a relationship with God, not seeking to have money.
Well, a perfect example is this ranch and this radio show. I'm paralyzed. And I say, look, you know, I'm not going to live as a paraplegic in a wheelchair. I just won't do it. And I said, fine, either I walk or I'm gone. And I said, if I walk, I will try to be a better person and I will try to do better things with my time. And fast forward a couple of years, and the majority of my time is spent on this ranch, hiring people, helping people with their horses, and the crops on this ranch, the hay harvests are always over the top amazing. The weather always cooperates, the farm equipment cooperates. This radio studio that I didn't have the money for it.
Right.
But yet I came across the money. I mean, no one has. I mean, we had some really nice people. They didn't want their name mentioned, and for a while they sent money every month for the text messaging,
right,
and stuff. And we had somebody send us a gift card that I used for the cost of airing the show. But I mean, grace is all over this ranch and this radio show.
Yeah,
there's no other reason for it, and that is what I do with me and my relationship with the guys, because the more I use grace, the more grace I get. It's like that old joke, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Sure.
Well, if you use an inch of grace, God will give you a mile of grace.
Right.
Because it's like talking to a child saying, if you can handle this responsibly, I'll give you this responsibility too. The more you show me, the more I'll give you. That's the love of God, and it's endless and boundless.
Yeah. Well, I like the whole motive of even what we've done with the show. We set that as a precedent right at the very beginning, that everything about this show had nothing to do with money.
No, I asked you when we didn't really know each other. I just said, hey, look, I've got a radio show about horses, and I can see you doing a radio show about this. And I asked you a question. I says, it's a simple question. I says, look, I says, I can build you a show that will work for grace, or I can build you a show that'll make you rich. But I says, I can't do both. And I says, I won't do the one if it's about money. I did, didn't
right,
I?
Right.
I said, there's enough. I did. I said, there's enough fools and idiots out there that are taking people's hard-earned money. I don't want to be a part of anything like that. And you said, I don't either. That's not what I want. And then everybody but you and I and a few of your family members, they said, oh, that show won't work. How are you going to do it?
Right.
And I'd just tell people, I'd say, well, it's like that movie with John Belushi, the Blues Brothers.
Oh.
And I said, we're on a mission from God. I love, my hobby is putting gas on fires. And, but no, that you said, no, that's not what I want to do.
Right.
And you said, all I want to do is what I'm telling people, just to ramp it up.
Right.
Kick
right.
it up a notch.
Yeah. And there's some scripture here that I like that kind of goes in here. It's
talks about that movie, The Blues Brothers.
Yeah. It kind of says something about it here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11. And in fact, I'm going to start in verse 7. It's God appearing to Solomon. And he said, what do you want from me? Ask. And Solomon answered, listen to this, this is really good here. He answered and he said, you were extravagantly generous with David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. Establish, God, the words you spoke to my father, for you've given me a staggering task ruling this mob of people. Yes, give me wisdom and knowledge as I come and go among this people. For who on his own is capable of leading these, your glorious people? He didn't ask for money.
No.
All he asked for was wisdom. Now notice what God answered Solomon. God answered Solomon and said, this is what has come out of your heart. You didn't grasp for money, wealth, fame, and the doom of your enemies. You didn't even ask for a long life. You asked for wisdom and knowledge so you could govern well my people over whom I made you king. Because of this, you get what you asked for, wisdom and knowledge, and I'm presenting you, this is the Message Bible, the rest as a bonus, money, wealth, fame, beyond anything the kings before or after you have had or will have. Now, my point is this. God is not, his hand is not short. He certainly can provide great prosperity. But the point is, look at the connection Solomon had with God.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with anything of this world. It had everything to do of the spiritual connection being the number one focus of his life.
And we talk about this on every single show in a different way. You know, it's like how many different uses of peanut butter is there? We talk about this on every single one of your shows. If somebody listened to every single show in the archive, we talk about this all the time. The closer you are to God, the more grace is in your life, the less care and concern you have for the world.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you find yourself that you're not worried about commercials on TV. You're not watching TV. And someone says, well, what have you been doing the last couple hours? Oh, I don't know. I was just watching the clouds go by, and I was petting the cat, and I was just relaxing, and they go, aren't you bored? And he says, you know, come to think about it, I didn't even know 3 hours went by. Well, your favorite show's on. Well, you know, I just don't seem to have time for TV anymore. And then all of a sudden they say, well, boy, you know, you look good. You've lost weight. You know, you're walking a little better. Oh, I feel great. It's, you know, thank you, Jesus. You know, and of course they walk away and say, well, they're nuts. But that's what grace does. Why would not grace take things away? Now, remember this, folks. It's in that book, the Bible. Thank you very much.
Yes.
It's in that book. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. So when you're talking about prosperity, when you're talking about tithing, when you're talking about what's important, it's not what's important to you, it's what's important to your spirit.
So I'm going to come in here.
We got emails and texts too.
And so. give this example. It's just talking with somebody tonight and praying with them. Of course, a sincere prayer. And I know that some things, I'm waiting for a response from them. But here was the part of the conversation. They were wanting healing in a particular area, but they literally were drowning in the importance of this part of their body being well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That I had to stop them from even talking, because they just were going on and on. This is so important to me. This is the reason why I have to have this. And I had to have you pray. And so it's so important to me that this. And I've said, stop. Please stop. You're rambling.
Right.
I said, back up a moment. Can you not see that because it's so important that it's literally swallowing up all of your energy and time. And I said, why wouldn't it be more important for you to have an amazing fellowship with the Lord right now? I said, do you think you and I could just worship Him with words and heartfelt sincerity for just a few moments? And I began to worship, and immediately my heart is like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's where my connection is. And this person wasn't even really entering in.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't what was normal to them. What was normal to them was the flesh going, why hasn't it happened? How come it's not taking place? This is so important to me. And I tried to help her to see that to lose the flesh being the importance and let the spirit be the importance. That's why Paul said, don't look at things which are seen. Look at things which are not seen. He's trying to tell you the things that occupy your sight with your 20/20 are of the world.
Distractions.
And they will cause you to lose everything.
Right.
But the things that are of the Spirit will cause you to have everything. That's why Jesus said, if you love your life, you'll lose your life. But if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you'll not only find me, but you'll find yourself.
Yeah, last night I went into town to a restaurant, and they make these really great sandwiches that I like. And I always get them to go. You know, I go in, I sit down, and they know it's a to-go order. And I always order the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, I'm a pretty good tipper, so, you know. So the waitresses know, sort of thing. And I went in there last night, and the owner of the restaurant, he always comes over, asks me how the horses are, and, you know, how's Ranger and stuff. And I was sitting at they have a counter for, like, takeouts and, you know, people that are single and stuff, whatever. And I asked this lady, I says, can I sit down? She says, yeah. And I says, I'm kind of tired. And she says, well, I'm just getting ready to pray. She says, would you like to pray with me? And I says, what are you praying about? She says, well, I'm thankful for this food. And I says, what is it? And she says, well, I'm having a salad, and then I'm having a bowl of soup. And I said, that's it? And she says, yeah, I'm not going to pray for that. I says, I don't like soup and I don't like sandwiches. So salad. Yeah, I don't like soup, but I don't like salads. I'm not praying for bad food. she just kind of looked at me, and the waitress goes, you have to understand this guy. You know, he's a little different. And she says, what do you pray for? And I says, and it just off the top of my head, I said this. I says, you know, I says, I really don't pray. I says, I'm kind of spiritual lazy. And she goes, what's spiritually lazy? And I says, you know, I have a choice. I can do it or God can do it. I says, you know, I just let Him do it. I just sit back and say, you know, if this is important, here, Grace, you do it. I'm too busy doing nothing. And I'm really grateful for you doing it for me. And oh, yeah, while you're doing that, don't forget to do this. And here, let me just make a list of things for you to do for me. Thank you, Jesus. I says, there you go. I says, that's the kind of stuff I do. And she looked at me and she says, you know, she says, at first I found this very offensive, but she says, that's really conviction, isn't it? She says, you literally say, and I go, well, yeah.
Yeah, I had someone.
I said, you know, I says, if I have to brush my teeth and gargle to prevent tooth decay, I've lost my connection with Grace. Yeah. And she literally, like, she literally almost had soup coming out of her nose when I said that. And she goes, man, she says, you really believe in God, don't you? And I says, well, either you do or you don't.
Yeah, right.
I says, what am I? Am I supposed to think?
Clear cut.
Yeah, am I supposed to thank God because there's a coupon in the Daily Shopper for 50% off dental cleaning? I says, that's not faith. I says, that's just coupon shopping.
Yeah, I had someone, one of our regulars, a really great guy, come up today after the morning healing school, and I had shared this plaque that I saw with him, the words on it, and he was just sharing how he has been using that and has seen God do just some wonderful things.
What's the plaque say?
And the plaque said, good morning, this is God. I'm going to be handling all your problems today. Oh, and by the way, I don't need your help. Have a wonderful day. I love you.
That's good.
And
I like that.
And that really is I think one of the greatest descriptions of what we're talking about, no matter what subject it is, could be for your body, could be for provision for your life financially. It really comes down to you just staying in one place with your connection with God, enjoying God, His grace, His fellowship.
We've got some emails, we got some text messages. I'm going to read those. I'm a little late on the housekeeping. Sorry, folks. Okay, here it goes. If you want to email the show, we love emails, don't we?
Yes.
We like them.
Yes.
The way you email the show is it's the radio show's name, it's the website name. There's no capital letters needed. You don't put any spaces. It's just The Abiding Presence. The Abiding Presence at Gmail. That's G for Grandma's Gravy. That's The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. If you want to text the show, it's easy. We love text. We haven't got a lot of text lately, but we like text. Even if you just want to say hello, or if you agree or you disagree or got a comment or a question, the way you text the show is the first word that you're going to type in your text message has to be this keyword, J-I-M-B-J. Jim B-J. No caps, no space. Both of our names put together, J-I-M-B-J. That's the first word that you type. And then when it says press send and you need to type in a number, there's no one, there's no area code. It's just five numbers, 69302. That's 69302 is the text number. If you go to the Abiding Presence website, how to contact us during the show is on the contact page. We've had two text messages tonight, now three. Good potato chips. So somebody's eating potato chips. We got another one that says, BJ gets funnier every week. I loved the opening. You're the one that makes all the ridiculous jokes. I hardly ever get to say anything. I just sit back, run the computers, make sure the show's good, pet my dog.
I'm not even going to say anything to that.
It's your show. Well, why would you? It's true. Oh, guess what? Kitchen counter couple listening in. Well, they're in Minnesota.
Yep.
So we know around Minneapolis. Kitchen counter people are listening in. We haven't heard from California. We haven't heard from Grandma, wherever Grandma is in Morgan Hill. Okay, we got some emails here. We've got Scott and Loretta. They're listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It says, love that you're covering this topic. Now, we've got some other emails here. This one came in about 55 minutes ago. It says, you can use my name if you like. This is from Dan. Dan's in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yep.
You know Dan in Connecticut?
I probably, if he's at the one church that I go to, then maybe so.
It says, I love this email. Folks, I want you to pay attention to this email from Dan. Dan lives in Connecticut, which is a state in the U.S. if you're outside the United States of America. It says, I found and eliminated one of my biggest distractions from a closer relationship with Christ. Conspiracy theories and doomsday prophecies. I had been subscribing to them on Facebook and YouTube for some time. As I was praying the other morning, I asked about distractions, and the Lord showed me this. I have since unliked a lot of Facebook pages, and I've unfriended an individual who was constantly posting new conspiracies. Since doing this, my peace level has skyrocketed. I feel closer to the Lord now. I hope this email helps others out there who may be sucked into conspiracy theories and doomsday prophecies. Grace is with me now and forever. I don't fear the end times.
It's good.
It is good. You know, I want to talk about distractions because you hear this all the time. I do because, you know, so many more women own horses than men. It's like 12-to-1 ratio. For every man, 12 women own a horse. And I'll be working on their horses, and they talk about, they'll say, you know, this is a nice house, and I probably couldn't have all these horses if my husband didn't have that great job. And they says, but he's never home. He's always working to provide for us. And they say, you know, I would give a lot of this up if my husband was just home. If we could just spend more time as a family.
Sure.
You know, you hear these things. And you hear it from people all the time. I just want to spend more time with you. You know, whether it's something that's nasty and dirty and just really wrong, like golf, or, you know, it's something nice like fishing or horses or whatever it is, whether it's drugs, alcohol, internet pornography, cheating, stealing, or just being hooked on television or casino gambling.
Right.
The reason that they're sins isn't because they're so bad. The reason that it's all sins is because it takes you away from a relationship with Christ.
Right.
And I like what this was saying. The other email we got, oh, by the way, it says, great show and topic, Stephen Braswell, Lancaster, South Carolina. So the text messages are starting to come in. Here's another one we get. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. This person said hi to Ranger. I want to share something simple about powerful that really changed my thinking. I had some trouble with negative thoughts and experienced a type of disconnect with God this week. Of course, I knew that I was the problem, but was wondering how. So Jesus showed me this in the Bible. Micah 6:8 reads. Okay, is there a book called Micah?
Yeah.
I like that name. It says, but he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. That's your problem right there. You take yourself too seriously. You never cut me any slack. It says, take God seriously. My focus was too much on myself and the world this week. As a full-time stay-at-home, homeschooling mom, the world definitely does not celebrate me, and most of what I do seems to go unnoticed or unappreciated. So in taking myself too seriously, I've often struggled with feelings of insignificance and depression. But when I take God and His grace seriously, not my flesh or the world, everything about me is significant.
Yeah, that's good.
And my connection with Daddy God is strong. God doesn't just love me, but He likes me too and delights in all the small things I do. The smallest gestures and grace have the greatest significance to God. God is so in love with His kids and thinks we're amazing. Much love and encouragement to everyone listening to today. So she's saying hi to everybody listening to the show. And this is from Karen in Fort Worth. So everybody, Karen in Fort Worth, Texas, says hi to anybody listening. Yeah, I like this.
Yep, very good.
You know, I want to say something about it. She says here, as a full-time stay-at-home homeschooling mom, the world definitely does not celebrate me, and most of what I do seems to go unnoticed or unappreciated. Okay, I just think that's ridiculous. I got to say something about this. That's wrong, because you're providing a loving environment with education for children who are going to have children. In other words, you've planted seeds, and these seeds have sprouted into trees, and these trees will bear fruit. And you may be deader than a can of corned beef and never know what happens, but there will be generations of trees that are harvesting fruit because of what you do today. They are your legacy, and you have no idea what generations to come and will do because of what you're doing right now today. So just because people unnotice it or don't notice it and you feel unappreciated, well, maybe you'll give this a thought, what I just said.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Sue in Livermore, California is listening. And it says, thanks for a great show as usual. Wonder how the horse is doing. Remember the horse in California? Wonder how the horse is doing.
Well, let's look over here at Genesis in chapter 12, because I want to start right here with Abraham, because as we're talking about this subject, where we really need to make sure that we keep a good balance to the positive and then to the negative, where we're always careful. In fact, if I'll go ahead and make a blanket statement about some things, I really think that the way, this is going to kind of just set the tone a little bit here, but I really think the way that the prosperity message has been preached in the last 20 years has been extremely detrimental to the progress of people experiencing God. The prosperity message has been preached in a manner of everybody getting rich, of everybody having lots of money, of everybody having lots of things. And if you really look in the last 20 years, you'll see that most Christians, a lot of people that are really into the prosperity message, have become more materialistic than they have been as far as giving to the poor, giving to people in need. In fact, we were talking about that earlier, about how even on Craigslist you'll find individuals and students of people. No, I don't want to say everything, but just people that are in this town. There's certain schools in this town.
There's a lot of colleges in this town that are, I guess you'd say, religious-based or Christian-based, where people can, you know, go to, I guess you'd say, Christian college. And the closer I become to God and the more I live my life with grace in it and the more prayers I have answered, I find it really ironically sad, because at least once a week, somebody is on the internet, and this is how it goes. I'm here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm away from my family and my friends. I just have enough money to pay for blah, 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 yada, yada school. And I'm studying the Bible, and I'm sleeping on the floor, and I need a bed for my apartment, and some furniture would be nice, and it'd be nice if I could have some pots and pans, because food's expensive to eat in restaurants, and I could save money if I could cook my own meals, and, you know, it would be such a blessing if somebody would, you know, give me furniture, give me pots and pans, sometimes ask for money for school supplies. And I just think that this is just ridiculous. That because I think if these were grace-based, if things were really on track, instead of those being postings on the internet, the posting would say, "Hi, I'm in Tulsa, I'm away from my family and friends, but I'm studying the Bible and I'm just drowning in grace. Is there anybody out there that could use help? Because I'm here to help, and grace is my tool belt." I think
it turns it around, doesn't it?
Well,
sure it does.
Yeah, but a lot of people have problems with that, because it's here comes that word, that terrible word, absolute. But that's what Jesus was. You know, Jesus didn't heal everybody. We talk about this all the time, right, off the air. You know, I mean, Jesus was not 100%. He was 100% to those that opened their hearts and minds.
Right. That's right.
And accepted his Father.
Right.
But he passed, him and his buddies, they walked by atrocities every day. They walked by things happening that were really bad. And the reason is because the people had closed minds and closed hearts.
Right.
And they weren't receptive to the Word of God. Now, that's not God's fault. That's not Jesus' fault. Whose fault is that? That goes to that Christian responsibility, the accountability to your own relationship with God. Somebody is wrong. Because if you say you're praying, and if you say you're a Christian, and you're saying you have a relationship with God, but yet you've never really had a prayer answered, and things are pretty messed up in your life, well, somebody is wrong. Is Scripture wrong? Is Christ failing? Or is it you?
Right, right.
This goes to what we're talking about tonight with tithing. Why are you tithing? What is your motivation? What do you expect from it? And are you happy and satisfied with what you're giving and what it's being used for? What are the intentions behind it?
Well, that's why I want to read a couple of these scriptures here again, just to keep the thought going.
Did that make sense?
Sure. Sure it did. And here over in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, I want to use Abraham as he became, as the example, because we know he became an example, a father of the faith, so to speak, an example for those of us who are born again. When God dealt with him before there was law, where he was dealing with him purely on the basis of relationship. And again, I have to always use that, because everything of all the blessings, all the benefits that we have by being in Christ, they come, they work, they become seen, manifest, however you want to talk about it, through the relationship, through the experience of God himself. And Abram here, it said, God told him, leave your country, your family, your father's home for a land that I will show you. And then God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation and bless you. I will make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. That's the Message Bible of Genesis chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. And so my point in this is to say, sure, when you look through Scripture, you can find multiple Scriptures that help you to understand there is a provision from God that is abundant, that is a blessing. Prosperity is a blessing, but it was never supposed to ever become something that was independent without having there be a relationship with God. Everything had a purpose.
Or the main goal.
Of course, the main goal.
Or the end game.
This is something we can use. As long as you made those comments, BJ, the main goal, the end game, then let's just say this. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the garden, before they were cast out, you see this pure, wonderful plan of God, unadulterated, and there it is, man hanging out with God, enjoying his time with God, and everything about his life literally is in order, and it's exactly as God wanted it, and man wouldn't change one iota. It was sin. It was a consciousness of sin. It was using the flesh instead of utilizing the spirit that brings man to the place where we are today, where there's many convoluted ideas about what constitutes even prosperity. Now, when you look in the Bible, you can definitely see it. A few scriptures later, over in Genesis 13, 1, 2, and 2, it talks about Abraham. He was very rich, loaded with cattle, silver, and gold. But my point is this, if all you seek is to try to work the system of giving and tithing, to try to get money so you can buy things, you've sadly missed the whole lot of the reason why provision and God's abundance is there.
And one of the telltale signs of misinformation and how the wheels have come off the wagon is we have prayer teams standing by. You know, if you want our prayer team to pray for you, you know, we have $25 prayer team, we have $50 prayer team.
Well, we can list a multitude of those type of things that are there.
It's the different indicator
classes that we have. We've got adult classes for marriage, and we have it for depression, and we've got it for
divorce
classes, and divorce classes.
Alcohol, drugs.
All these classes and programs where if we were connecting people with God, we wouldn't have the issues.
I know somebody, they buy hay from me, and they say that their life is blessed from God because they have a support group at the place that they worship for shoplifting, people who steal things from stores.
Huh.
And I says, really? And he says, yeah, we have a support group that we're helping each other not to shoplift. And I died laughing.
You had to.
And you know, of course they were, you know, insulted by my laughter. And they says, you don't understand, you know, this is serious. And I go, well, yeah, I mean, you know, shoplifting is bad. Okay, I get that. And I says, but the place you worship is, you have a support group? And I said, yeah. I says, well, oh, okay. I had to leave it alone. Because I could tell by the look on their face that they were, you know, they would have, I would have just verbally beat the snot out of them. You know, I just looked at the guys and I just shrugged my shoulders and I said, I'm not touching this. I got to leave this one alone. You know, and of course the Holy Spirit, you know, was all over me, you know, like the skunk smell, you know. You missed the opportunity. You could have, you know. And I said, well, you were right here, you know. I didn't see you lifting any of these bales. Those are the kind of conversations I have with the guys all the time. We got an email here. It says, great topic. I'm enjoying hearing this as I relax in bed. That's an email from Billy. So somebody is just, might have, I don't, you know what? I waited to say, probably asleep by now. We got another one here. It says, "Amen, brother. Thank you, BJ. You really blessed my heart with your spirit-filled words of encouragement." This is from that lady in Fort Worth, Karen, talking about, you know, generations to come. And but I'm glad she liked it. I wasn't sure if I did good on that. You know, Jim, I mean, I have no experience because you had to explain to me that it's not tithing. It's tithing.
Right.
I mean, I didn't even say it right. In all your years and travels and stuff, you must have come across just countless people that were really in an emotional and a mindset that was counterproductive to tithing. I mean, it's like somebody hooked on gambling and they've sold everything they have and they're just watching a television hoping that the horse comes in first. They're just, you know, it's a last bet.
Right.
And everything's got to be saved on this bet. I mean, you've had to have seen that type of emotional mindset when people tithe, right?
Well, sure. But again, that goes back to how are they being taught to tithe? Are they being instructed that unless they do it? I mean, so many people have been taken over to Malachi chapter 3 and said, if you don't tithe, then you're robbing God. If you don't give offerings, you're robbing God. And then the devourer is going to come and rebuke you, and the windows of heaven won't be opened. And
what was that? Where was that?
Malachi chapter 3. But that's Old Covenant, see.
I had somebody throw that in my face. There was a woman that was taking me around to different buildings and structures,
right,
trying to find a place that I would like.
Right.
And we were at this one service, and they were passing a plate, and I was at the end of the line, and this guy was holding the plate literally in front of me, like he was expecting me to put something in it. And she kind of whispered, she says, he's waiting for your tithe. I looked at her and I said, I hope he's patient. That's what I said. I whispered back, I go, I hope he's patient. And she said, what was it? The
Malachi chapter 3.
Yeah, she said, Malachi chapter 3. And she like hurried up, opened up her purse, and she puts like a $10 bill in there. And she says, I'm sorry, he's new. And he looks at me and he says, that's okay, brother. He says, you know what to do next time. And I said, well, yeah, go somewhere else. And then, she says, oh, I can't believe you. And I says, well, what? The place was? That was a place where the pastor's wife talked for 37 minutes on how Jesus told her that they needed to spend $65,000 for a new sign in the parking lot. Remember me telling you that place?
Yep.
And I said, really? That was the same place. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the sad part about so many of these stories, and I think anybody and almost everybody that's listening, if you've been around the modern day of Christianity and especially watching TV and the way that money is exploited and the words from the Lord that are given usually by people as far as the reason why they're supposed to give because of things just like that. We need a $65,000 sign when it would be so easy to go ahead and just take $60,000 and start feeding poor, start clothing poor, start doing things with the money that would cause people to be blessed in the community, and then watch grace begin to just give you a sign. Or what? I mean, there's so many things that God wants to do, but he's limited because we're making this thing so hard and not relaxing with this. And this is one of the reasons why we're talking about prosperity tonight, so that we can continue to stay on the subject of, are you connected with God? Is there a connection with you and the Lord? Because when there is, these things will work for you. I know so many, even of my friends, that have given and given and given with the idea that if they'll just give a little bit more, maybe the payday is going to come.
Yeah, it becomes...
Only to be so sadly mistaken. Now, at the same time, I would never try on this show to make you think that there are not laws of giving and receiving, just like sowing and reaping. There are laws. I've watched it work in my own life. I remember going to this one church, and I was just really challenged to do something out of the ordinary financially. So when I got to the church, I told the church, I said, listen, we're going to take up an offering for the pastor. I asked him if I could take up the offering. Of course, the pastor thought I was going to take up my own offering. I said, I'm going to take up an offering for the church. And I said, here's what it's going to be. I said, we're taking up an offering for the pastor tonight just to bless them. I said, they're here. They do the work of the Lord for you. I said, I want to help. I said, whatever you give in the offering, I told the church this, I'll match it personally.
Really?
And they ended up coming in with some $6,500.
Wow.
So I wrote a check for $6,500. And we gave it to the pastor. And here, that's the exact amount, $13,000, that they had been believing God for in their life. And they turned around then and took up an offering for me, which I didn't care if they did or not.
Right.
But the people gave abundantly even for me. And I watched God so amazingly meet my needs by stepping out to be courageous or daring, just like you would with your faith for healing, with my faith for finances, for need that I have. So I will not belittle the fact that there are laws at work in giving and receiving. The point that we're really going to make tonight, because I have some negatives here that I want to share, and at the same time, I can continue to share wonderful scriptures that show that God wants you to be blessed. But the spiritual connection as a spirit to God is what you have to consider first and foremost. You can't consider this world. You can't use your lack as the means to try to do something with God. You have to connect with God first and foremost.
Well, because once you're connected with God, what you're going to find out is that you're going to be hard-pressed to even remember what you thought was important or vital. I mean, because...
Good point.
There's two things that have really happened to me the more grace is in my life. The first thing is that I don't have bad days. I mean, how many times have you called me and I don't even know what time or what day it is?
Right.
You know, I literally don't know what day it is or what time it is. I'm clueless. And the other thing that's really happened to me with grace is that I would actually have to sit down with pen and paper and recall and reflect on my life as to how many things and people and events that I used to give a lot of emotional, financial, and just time to that I thought were really important.
Okay.
You know, it's like if we don't remember. Well, once you get past the age of 25 or 30, you don't really remember the real intricacies and nuances of being in school, like grade school, junior high, and high school.
Right.
You have memories, but you don't remember those not wanting to go to school because you didn't get the homework done. You know, getting a bad grade on a test and you knew you were going to be grounded and it was just very tragic and it was, you know, oh, I'm going to die. This is the end of my life. You know, they're talking about how I can't play sports or, you know, I've got to get my grades up. My life is over. And you really felt that way because you were a child and that was everything to you. You didn't see the big picture.
Okay.
I think it's exactly the same for people that call themselves Christians. Because the more advanced, the more mature you come as a Christian, the more that you leave worldly childish things behind you.
Hmm.
Because grace shows
sure.
The folly in them.
Right.
The unimportance in them.
Right.
What was that guy's name that walked across the water with Jesus? Stuart? What was his name?
Peter.
That's close. And, well, when that guy was walking with Jesus, everything was fine until he did what?
Yep. began to reconsider things that he saw.
And even Jesus himself was out walking around for, what was it, 40 days?
40 days.
And the only time that he really thought about not having anything to eat was when what? Someone told him that...
To turn stone into bread.
Right, that he was hungry. That shows how profound distractions are. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you're not in a chokehold. You're not in an arm wrestling match with the devil. And when it says nothing good of the flesh, nothing good of this world, then it means that you're creating your own things. You're not just making a mountain out of a molehill. You're making a mountain out of flat ground. It says, we just got a text that says, that is really good. The connect, not a focus on a need. It says, but the relationship. That's from a listener named Cheryl. We got two emails here. It says, I'm a newbie. I'm a newbie to your show, but just signed on late tonight. You were just reading an email from someone in Connecticut who was convicted of their distraction from God by following those conspiracy theories. We recently lost an 18-year-old friendship with a couple who got so caught up in these conspiracy theories, they lost their sight of the redemption purchased at the cross. We watched them become angrier and angrier as time went on, instead of being transformed by the renewing of the mind. It is sad. It is a sad day to us at this loss. But can you address the Christian's responsibility where government is concerned? Thank you in advance. Blessings. This is from, I don't know how to say that. Is it Keisha? K-E-I-S-H-A. Would you say Keisha?
Probably.
Keisha. Oh, and then she's got Hebrews 11-1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so her question is, it is sad. Let's see. Can you address the Christian's responsibility where government is concerned? That's her question. I don't think anybody's ever asked that before, have they?
I don't think so either.
Well, congratulations on a new question to the show.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
I mean, we certainly have a responsibility to things that are of government issues. I mean, Jesus didn't have any problem paying taxes and saying, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, render unto God what's God's. You know, but as far as, I don't know, I'm not prepared necessarily to answer this. I don't know. I mean, I feel like each of us have our own fiduciary responsibility to be citizens in the land wherever we're at, whether it's in this country or some other country. To be a vital part of, if you have a democracy like we do here in the United States, where we have the ability to vote, I think it's correct for people to get out and vote their mind and speak their piece about what they believe. But as far as how much involvement I let it affect me to get involved with conspiracy theories and all that stuff, I don't pay any mind to that.
I have some thoughts.
Well, I'm sure you do, because you've done a lot in this area here with some of your shows you've had with governments and all.
Right. I think that, first off, I'm going to start with hypocrisy. Just about everybody has an opinion about the United States government. Everybody has an opinion about taxes being too high. Everybody's got an opinion about potholes and toll roads, paying to drive on bad roads, and police and fire. Everybody's got something to say. And usually, there is some valid issues with their comments. But yet, you look at the mathematical number of people of voting age that actually vote versus how many people could vote. And it's really sad low. If you look at the real participation that people have, they want good roads, they want responsible government, but they don't vote because they feel it's futile. Their vote doesn't matter. and they complain about the government and the waste of the government, and they want a better government, but yet they don't want to pay their taxes, or they want to scoot around the rules of paying taxes. Now, I look at this from a grace spiritual standpoint. If you're not voting and you're not following the basic rules, and you're not willing to change those rules, there really isn't anything Christian about that thought process. It's for every action, there's a reaction. The founding fathers of the U.S., they firmly believed in a separation of church and state, because they knew that people took their spiritual reality and their religion very seriously. And they also knew that this country was supposed to be for lots of people on from everywhere. It was basically a giant inbox for people that were having trouble in other places. And they knew that there needed to be a separation. But yet at the same time, in God we trust. And what that means is it means in God we trust is that with a Christian mind and a Christian heart, people make choices and they have a lifestyle that cultivates and supports a government of grace. There is a separation there, but yet the people who are providing the government and supporting the government are doing it with a clear conscience and a clear heart. I don't know if I answered it or not.
Well, certainly better answer than what I had. I would like to just get back to some of these thoughts here on what we're doing with...
You're nicer than me. But see, that I think that was a good question, because this goes to support. If you can't support yourself and you can't support your country, it's hard to support your spiritual life.
That's good.
Now, at this point in the show, I think it's time to let's fire up the text messaging and the emails. I want to know what people are thinking about, how tonight's topic and the things that you and I have said, what's coming to their mind.
Well, let me start giving some of the scriptures here. Maybe they'll start writing some things while I do.
Let me give out the email. Okay. It's the Abiding Presence at theabidingpresence@gmail.com. All one word, no capitals, no spaces, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. If you want to send a text, you send your text to the first word that you type in your message needs to be J-I-M-B-J, both of our names put together, Jim B-J, and then you send it to this five-digit number, 69302, 69302. Okay, now, what do you got to read?
Well, Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 20, and this is in the Message Bible. It says, if you start thinking to yourselves, I did this, and all by myself, I'm rich, it's all mine, well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors as it is today. Talking about Abraham. And then he goes on to say, if you forget your God, and start taking up with other gods, serving and worshiping them, I'm on record right now as giving you firm warning that will be the end of you, and I mean it, destruction. You'll go on to your doom, the same as the nations God is destroying before you, doomed because you wouldn't obey the voice of God, your God. I realize we're in a new covenant today, but my point is to bring out, and I've got some other scriptures to support it, something Jesus said as well, that the power of God, his wonderful presence in your life, your connection with God will automatically begin to produce an abundance in your life of health and wholeness and healing and wellness, and even some of the things like BJ's been talking about with his relationship with God. And as it increases, one of the things, as grace increases, the same thing with me, you start losing your fascination for things of this world. You don't really have a desire for them anymore. You don't even have to really put things down as much as you don't want to pick things up. if that makes sense to you, and I think it should. What we're saying is, the further you begin to experience God, the more He's able to add to you. I mean, we've got scriptures that we've read for 2 years now that we've been giving about the birds and the flowers. And Jesus talking about, you know, if you're wondering about having something to eat, doesn't your Father give food to the birds? And they don't even worry about it. They don't soil, they don't till, they don't do all these extra things. And what about the flowers? Aren't they clothed and more beautiful than Solomon arrayed in all his riches? Well, what's he trying to tell you there? Stop putting your focus on these things.
Yeah.
Put your focus on God, and these things will be added to you. Now, Luke 12:15, a perfect scripture to back this up. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." A really good scripture. Your life is not determined by the things you possess. It's determined by the quality of life you have in God. And that doesn't mean, thank God you're born again, you can quote all the scriptures. That means, to what degree are you experiencing your relationship with God? You'll find that in the same measure, you'll be experiencing the benefits of God too. They come hand in hand.
See, my life is living on a ranch and baling and selling hay and working with horses. It's not because of the truck I drive or the Wranglers I wear, or the hats or the boots or how I talk. It's because that's what I do.
Right.
I mean, my house is connected to an indoor riding arena. We're doing this radio show in a barn. I live on a large ranch, and there's, you know, thousands of bales on the other side of the wall right now. So no matter what I say, what I look like, how I dress, or what I have for breakfast, dinner, or supper, really isn't the point. It doesn't go to the heart of the fact that this is my life, how I live it, and this is how I earn a living. It goes to Christianity.
Yes.
It's not about who you are or what you wear or where you live or how much money you have. That's not the point.
Right.
Because if it was the point, then where it says we're all created in the eyes of God, is that what it says?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that
right? Created equal in the eyes of
yeah,
God.
Yeah, okay. We're created equal in the eyes of God, and we're made in His image. Well, and will do greater works than I will. Well, then that pretty much cancels out a lot of singular desires and individualism as far as someone being better or worse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thought, and it goes back to putting God first. In your life, look at how healing works. Look at how every other benefit works. It's got to work the same with prosperity or with provision, with an abundance. When you're beginning to experience God, how easy is it for you to be able to believe Him? Extremely easy. In fact, some of the lack of, we could say it this way, the lack of connection that people have is definitely tied into the lack of conviction or the actions that we see in someone's life. People say things all the time, and it's real easy to do, to say things like, well, I really do believe God. Well, if you really do believe Him, there would be actions that would follow that. The same thing's true even financially. If you really do believe Him, there'll be actions that follow that. And so we would say to ourselves, well, what are some of those actions? Well, think of the way that you can give to people. And this is where we've not really been creative. We've thought only all we can do is just give into an offering plate. But think of the many ways that you can give to people. All day long, there are opportunities to sow into their lives. What if somebody didn't have finances to give somebody? What about mowing somebody's yard? What about doing a kind deed for somebody? There's all kinds of ways to give to people, to sow into people's lives, to do things that will enhance grace in your life. And yeah, that's really what we're focusing on tonight, more than it is the benefits. And here's one last thought, BJ. This is one of the things that I think I find more than anything as far as a mentality. And that is, people use God to get a blessing, but they don't have an experience with Him.
When I first started to try to become a Christian, I put God first, and one of the first things I learned was that He shouldn't be first, because first signifies that there's a list, that there's other things that need to be there, that there's things behind Him. And finally, I grew to a point in my relationship with the guys where that's all there is. God isn't first. God is the only thing that I focus on.
Yeah, that's a great explanation.
It's not even a worry or a concern. I wake up in the morning and I have thoughts of the guys. I go to bed with thoughts of the guys, and I find myself, I guess you could say, in a Christian daydream, wondering how I got from the ranch to the gas station to get gasoline and diesel fuel for the equipment on the ranch. And then I say, well, apparently, you know, I'm not being arrested for running red lights and stop signs, and there's no dents in the truck, so I guess I better thank you guys for the nice trip. And then I find myself back at the ranch unloading a bunch of gas cans full of gas and diesel, saying the same thing. Because what else is there?
Sure.
You know, the only time that man had to worry about the events of the day was when God said, fine, if you're worried about each other and you didn't listen to me to stay away from the apple tree, then fine. We'll make sure that your day is busy.
Well, I'm going to take another scripture here and bring it to light, because it's really good in these same areas of just becoming very careful how we view things. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says, the seed cast in the weeds represents the one who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things that they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. Now, in the King James or the New King James, it says the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world choke out or drown out what God wants to do. So look at how important it is not to get caught up with the things first. And I really love that example. It's not really, is it God first? It's all there is God.
Well, we're
really, really good. Good.
Thank you. You know, and this goes hand in hand with the show's topic tonight about tithing and your motivation and your why are you tithing? Are you tithing because you want and expect the religious organization to do the right thing with your cash or check and to use it to help people? Or are you tithing because everybody else does and you don't want to have that basket or plate pass in front of you and somebody notice that you don't put anything in it? Or are you tithing because you expect some immediate return? You know, because people pray for things all the time, but very rarely do they pray for thanks. Very rarely does someone say thank you for being God. Thanks for showing me grace. Thanks for loving me no matter how stupid I screw up. People just, they're always praying for something, for pain, money, something sad on TV, something on the 10 o'clock news. But very rarely do people really, you know, pray for just praying for the fact of Christianity, praying for the fact that grace exists. That's a very powerful prayer. It's no different than walking up to your mom or dad and say, I love you for being my parent.
Right. Yeah.
We got a text that says, much needed topic, thanks. We got another text that says, lots of believers are frustrated about church and money. And it says, timely topic. This is from Rob and D-O-R in New Jersey. What's D-O-R? Doreen? Dorothy?
Dorothy, yeah.
You know them?
Yes.
Okay, so it's Rob and...
Dorothea.
Rob and Dorothea in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
I hope I am too. I'm not
because
good
it just
names.
Said D-O-R, New Jersey. Okay, we got an email here. This is actually not addressed to you or me. This is from Atlanta, Georgia, and this is for our new listener, Keisha. And it says, to answer Keisha's question, she asked about government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, to answer Keisha's question, it's our responsibility as Christians to pray for our leaders from the local government to the President of the United States. We pray that they know the Word of God and will conduct themselves with the grace God has for us. We pray that they are connected to God, the guys, and that their advisors are connected. We use grace to vote and support the candidates running for office. So that was one listener with a message to another listener.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
I always like it when the audience, you know, is communicating with each other through the show, because to me, I think that's real authentic Christian fellowship. You know, I've always thought that one of the most powerful things that this radio show does is it lets people know they're not alone.
Good.
You know, we know. We've had every once in a while we know that there are people that either for financial reasons or somebody in their family doesn't even want them to have a Bible, that their only connection to Christ is they listen to this show. That's why it streams 24 hours, 7 days a week,
right,
for free, that when they're alone and nobody knows, they can at least spend an hour or
so. That's right.
Worshiping, and they know that there's other people out there that are like-minded.
Well, let's take a moment here and just talk. I got some scriptures that we can talk about.
Yeah.
About the attitude about your giving, about sowing into people's lives, into a work of God, trusting God to do something with that would benefit and help people. Let's just talk about that for a moment. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 to 5, it says, now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Well, if you look at that, you can just dissect a couple of thoughts here, and you can see that when Cain got around to it, in other words, when it served his purpose, he went ahead and brought something to the Lord. But notice the heart of Abel. He immediately took of the firstborn of his flock and their fat and brought the very best that he had. And so what do you have there? That's an attitude. And I think you can see that over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The attitude of the heart says here, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with grain, with new wine, and your vats will overflow. The part that we do, and I think this is really sad, we'll take the last part of that verse, barns being filled with grain, meaning bank accounts overflowing, new wine, your vats overflow for the time and the day. That could mean that there's financial prosperity today. We'll take that last part and say, see, I'm going to give so I can be rich. And that's not at all what it's saying. It's saying because an individual has a connection with God, there's honor, and there's a relationship with God, there are the things that are necessary in life are added to you in an abundance. You don't have to seek after these things. Why would you when everything is about God? And please don't forget what BJ had said just a moment ago about instead of making God first in your life, what about getting to the place where the only thing that is in your life, or you could say your life is defined by one thing,
well,
God.
Look in Scripture where Christ told Moses to walk away from everybody. Walk away from everybody and everything. Let your brother Aaron take care of it. Come with me. Look what Jesus did to his 12 buddies. Drop your tools. Drop your fishing nets. Come with me. Look what Paul's letters were about to so many people. Okay, great. You spent time with me. You spent time with Jesus. You know grace works. You've seen a lot of wonderful things out of the love and glory of God. And now you've gone back to living your life before. What has happened to what you know to be true? What are you doing? What's happened? You know better. You can do better. All these things, Paul's letters, Jesus, what are they called, disciples?
Yes.
Did I get it right?
You did, yeah.
I was just guessing. and you look at Moses, and you look at Abraham, Job, everybody that's mentioned in the Bible, they have one common denominator. They literally turned away from what they thought to be real, true reality. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. Bam. Hello. Welcome to God. Welcome to grace.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to testify right now to folks as far as how this works, I could tell you that since BJ and I have been doing this radio show, and we have not put any inference at all upon money, not made that an issue at all whatsoever, I can share with you that finances in my meetings that I do, offerings that are taken, honorariums that are given, finances have gone up considerably since we've been doing this show.
Really?
And I haven't put
I
have put no emphasis on it at all. I've not put any extra prayer time into it. All I've done is just consciously, all day long, put my focus on God and begin to grow my own personal relationship with the Lord and increase in this. And we use these words a lot, but I don't use them flippantly. Increase in my tangibility with God. He's more real to me than he was even 2 years ago. It's not as though I didn't have wonderful experiences before BJ and I met and we started talking about these things. I just have them much more often now, where it's becoming more regular. And what's beginning to happen? Well, I told you a testimony about my body. I had had years ago multiple surgeries on my intestines because of certain afflictions that I had. And I've got testimonies of divine healing, and I've got sad testimonies of submitting myself to doctors at times and going through the works, I'm telling you. And I can tell you, if you've ever been through medical science, maybe some of your experiences were good, but mine was a whole lot better with God doing it than it was when I went to the medical science. My point is, even in the last 2 years, I have noticed a remarkable change in the function of my body, and I've not put any time or effort even thinking about it. It's just an outflow of spending time with the Lord, being more convinced, in a sense, like what you're talking about, but I never thought about it that way. Instead of putting God first, that's all there is anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I like that, because that'll actually help me even go to what I would call another level, or just begin to experience God more, because then you realize there really isn't anything else to be in competition with him, as though there's a second or third place.
Yeah, it's just my own personal slant. You know,
some things click with you, and that clicked with me when you said that.
I think it's that way with everybody. I think that there's parts of these shows, and they listen to the archives, and sometimes I say something, sometimes you say something, that I think it's a telltale sign of the individual's relationship with God. I've always thought that one of the most interesting things about a relationship, because I've never been married, you know, there's probably a lot of good reasons for that. That might be grace right there.
Yeah.
But I've always found it interesting about a relationship between a husband and wife, because they seem to, out of respect and because I guess the rules, I don't know, but they seem to have a tendency to slow each other down. There's a compromise that on every level that everything has to be done together and has to be equal. And that never could be more of a hindrance than when it comes to Christianity. Because the feelings and thoughts that someone has are rarely controlled or really held accountable other than Christianity. You know, and a lot of times a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or girlfriend or best friend, somebody seems to have a not better but more profound and more successful relationship with the guys than the partner does.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a slowing down by the one to so that the other doesn't get lost in the dust.
Sure.
Or that the other partner will say, well, you seem like you've, you know, what about me? You seem to be getting ahead of me. Why aren't you waiting for me, or why aren't you helping me, when in reality there's nothing that can be done other than the true Christian testimony is, look, I've got grace. Look what grace does for me.
Right.
What better testimony to show that God is real?
Yeah, well, that actually goes right along with our topic, because, you know, the sowing of your grace to someone else.
Yeah.
Whether it's just your testimony to them, or whether there's something that you see that they have lack of and you help them to acquire, whether it's blessing them. These different methods of sowing is for you to begin to continue to experience even more of God's grace, more of his provision in your life. I think we've talked a lot about that. When you begin to use the grace of God, and you made that comment already tonight, when you begin to use an inch of the grace of God, yeah, he gives you a mile of grace.
How many books do you normally read from when we do a show? I mean, you use the King James Bible, and then you use the, what's the other one called?
The Message, but a lot of these scriptures I wrote in here from other ones. I've probably used translations. I've probably used 15 tonight.
From different books?
Uh-huh.
15?
Probably.
How many are there?
I've got the whole New Testament, pretty much most of the New Testament, about the best of 300.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Well, can there be like three or four that really say it all?
Well, sure. That's why you see me use the Message.
I'm just curious because I through the show tonight I was thinking about, you know, what I'd do if I had, you know.
If you had what?
I don't know, an extra bucket of money.
Uh-huh.
You know, what I would do, and I just thought, well, you know, you're always pulling things out of these different books. I thought it would be, you know, it'd be fun to just, anybody who wanted, you know, send them a set of, you know, books.
Hmm.
You know, like, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, you were, you know, you had 300.
Well, I have translations, so I don't actually have 300 books, but I mean, some friends of mine did a lot of that study and put scriptures together that had some of the best of 300 translations. So
I just thought, you know, because we talk about the King James and the,
you know what, I would love to send people that didn't have, you know, with finances, to send people the Message Bible. That's one of the best out there to really help people to get.
I think
this.
It would be fun to send somebody the King James and the Message Bible, and have their name on it. You know, make like strike a deal with some, you know, the Thumper Store. Oh, if you don't know what a Thumper Store is, that's what I call. What are they called?
Christian bookstores.
Christian bookstores. I call them thumper stores because it seems like the people that work there and go there on a regular basis, they just want to beat and thump the Bible. And
do you know that there is a Bible that has on one half, it has the King James, on the other half it has the Message?
No kidding.
All the way through it.
Yeah, but what is it? Is about the size of a bale of hay?
Well,
or is it like so small that you need a magnifying glass to read it?
It's the size of a loaf that you'd give.
It's big book.
Well, no. I mean, it's about that thick. It's maybe about 2 inches thick.
That's 2 inches? Well, that'd be all right because it'd be one book. I mean, you know.
I'm saying it's a great little study tool.
Is it heavy enough that on a windy day it'd keep the screen door from slamming?
It would.
Well, see, now you've got a useful book.
That's what I'm saying.
That's grace. If you got people coming over and you got a wobbly kitchen table, you can put your Bible underneath it so you have a decent meal and you thank God for the fellowship. That's grace. Now you're using a book. I think the Bible should be able to keep a horse trailer from rolling downhill, keep a door from slamming in the wind, because now you're using it. Now that's grace. And if you thank God for doing it, he's going to send you a bigger, heavier book to do more things with.
Bigger and heavier.
Well, you know.
You could get a bigger one, I'm sure.
I look at grace as I think, you know what the biggest problem I have? Other than, you eat all the snacks. The biggest problem I have is I can't come up with enough imagination for grace. That's my biggest challenge every day.
That's real good, yeah.
Is what can I find for grace to do and to enjoy that I haven't seen yet?
Right.
You know? I mean, and we just got an email that came in, and it says, "Tonight's show has been great. Unfortunately, the prosperity message has been bloated in most churches. Many spend 20 minutes talking about tithing, why you must do it to be blessed. If you're not blessed, it's because you're not tithing, etc." This comes from the 300 bowler that got the 300 game.
Yeah, Scott.
Mr. Bowler, Scott. You know, but see, this is why people always say, why do you hammer organized religion? Well, if you've got 20, 30 acres of prime real estate in the middle of a city, and you've got a parking lot, and you've got grass and sprinklers, and you've got big buildings with central heat and air, and you've got a staff, and you've got people standing up in front of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. That is a very large financial responsibility every month.
Sure.
It's a business. And unfortunately, you become engulfed in supporting and sustaining that. And the fact that you have it, and the fact that you have standing room only, and that the money rolls in, unfortunately becomes a testament to what you think is the message of God. When in reality, you're just a really good business person. And the business is successful. And the fact that parishioners die, the fact that people go there worshiping, never have a prayer answered, is just a testament that you're a really good business person, but right. You really don't have a message of Christianity.
Right.
And so you have a lot of well-wishing people who really have no testimony at all. We just got a text that says, "Jim and BJ, you are doing a great job with the topic. You have covered from all directions. Thank you from Kathy in Broken Arrow." Huh. Is that Ranger's friend?
It is.
Is that your mom?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, you want to...
Yeah, I'm going to say a few things, but I'm going to leave one last statement here in Proverbs 1:19. And it says, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner." And that's a really... pretty powerful statement there, that everything we're talking about tonight, I trust that you've really caught the mental attitude of our heart, but more importantly, the heart of God, that he doesn't want you so taken up with the cares of this life, running around trying to make an extra buck, even though so many people are hurting in these areas.
Yeah.
He wants you to experience him. And to literally, like we've said before, I know this is a hard way of thinking, but it's so true. If you're willing to lose everything, that's when you don't have to. I remember John Lake making this comment. He was a man that had a wonderful ministry back in around 1920s and 30s. In fact, his ministry up in Spokane, Washington, caused the president at the time to deem Spokane, Washington, the cleanest and healthiest city in America.
Really?
Because so many people were healed at his healing center that they went to.
Oh, I thought it was because it rains there all the time.
Oh, no.
You know, like, right. Well, no, I mean, you know, the more you use a sink, the more you flush a toilet,
that's true. The cleaner
it stays.
Right.
Well, I was wrong.
He made this comment, and it was a great observation that started him on his way in this ministry of healing. He suffered from chronic constipation, and back in that day, all you had was castor oil. I don't know if you've ever had castor oil before.
Oh, yeah. They gave it to me as a punishment as a kid.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I've had it before, too. And it's terrible. Well, Lake's comment was it doesn't matter how much he took. It didn't help him.
Right.
And he basically exhausted, you know, all of the methods back then. And he resorted to the fact that if this is what life is all about, I'm more than willing to lose it. He said, I now throw my hands into the arms of God, and I give up the idea that I would ever lean upon the arm of man again. And he said he did that with the idea that by doing so, it may cost him his life, but he was more than willing to take it, have his life taken. And this is what he found. This is his statement. He said, when I was ready to lose my life, that's when I found out I didn't have to, because instantly he was healed.
The only time in my life that I ever had to deal with constipation, I was pretty young. I was driving tractors and I was working horses, but I didn't have a driver's license. Uh-huh. You know, I was pretty young. And I was constipated, and my grandmother took me over to her sister's house. Okay, so that would be my great aunt.
Right.
Okay, my great aunt served me a huge bowl of oxtail soup. And within about 5 hours, I was like a chicken. Because wherever a chicken walks, they seem to go to the bathroom everywhere. And that's what it did to me.
What in the world is oxtail soup? Is it exactly what it says?
Yeah, they take the bones of the oxen's tail and they make soup. And I only had it once in my life because I was like a chicken or a goose. Everywhere, I mean, I'd walk a little bit and I'd have to go to the bathroom again. I wasn't constipated, but, you know, I think I was, I could have died of dehydration. I mean, you talk about cleaning the little cowboy out. It was,
Well, thanks for warning me, because I'll never have oxtail soup, I promise you.
Well, I was asking you over for supper. I thought
thanks very much. Well, you know. I think we were going to pray for the people. I think they need prayer after this.
I was going to serve you oxtail soup and then tell you that, you know, there's no
the joke's on you.
The joke's on you. You just take Ranger for a walk in my pasture.
Yeah, right. Well, Lord,
once again, you get us off topic.
Lord, if it's possible to pray a prayer after that, I know that you'll help us. Well, I do seriously know there are people out there that are struggling financially, and I just pray tonight that what you've heard, that you'll certainly understand and know that God is a God of abundance, and He delights in your prosperity and you being able to pay your bills and being able to make it beyond just the next day. He certainly delights in your abundance. But tonight what I ask you to do is have your eyes opened. Begin to know God personally. And so this prayer that we pray so much, it certainly relates to our topic tonight, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, would grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know the hope of your calling. So Father, open the eyes of everyone tonight, that they would know you more, have a greater sense of your presence and awareness, be able to talk with you and spend time with you, and literally forget about the problems of life and watch you begin to handle these problems day after day and overwhelm them with your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, it figures that was really good. We've actually got a text, and it starts off with oxtail soup. I'm not kidding you. Look at the screen. That's what it starts off with.
It's quite good and healthy.
Yes, this is.
Give me a break.
You know what? I want you to read this text because I can't. It just scares me too bad.
It says, oxtail soup is quite good and healthy without castor oil. good story, BJ, Cheryl. Oh Lord.
Yeah, that yeah, I can't I'm that that yeah, I don't even want to read it.
It's I don't know that I can even ever have soup again.
You know, oxtail soup a text says oxtail soup is quite good and healthy without castor oil. Good story, BJ, and it says Cheryl. That it might as well be a text about golf. That's how, you know. It just, we got an email here. It says, I love what BJ said about the hardest thing he has to do is to use his imagination for things to use grace for. That just screams to the fact of how limitless
That's
our
right.
relationship is. This is from Steve Morgan in High Plains, Florida.
Right. That sounded like Steve.
Is that Steve that I met?
Yeah, sure.
He's a kid pastor.
A youth pastor.
Same thing, right? Kids, youth.
No, different.
Is it? Are yeah. you serious?
Yeah.
There's a difference between a kid pastor.
Children's pastor, and then there's youth pastors.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's dumb because we're all children of God.
Oh, gee.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
I guess.
I just made that up. I don't know what you have that look on your face because Ranger and I enjoyed that. Folks, we hope that tonight's broadcast serves you well.
Yes.
And we want to thank everybody for the text messages and the emails. And just to give you a little information here, it takes about 15, 20 minutes of computer time for me to upload tonight's broadcast. And then it will stream 24 hours, 7 days a week until next Tuesday night's live show. But don't worry, as soon as I flip a switch, last week's show will start playing. Yep. Until I get that done. Take care of yourselves and your pets. I thought we did all right.
I did too.
Hey, Rangers, say hi to Jim's mom. Say, Kathy. Well, there you go. That goes out to Kathy Huckaday, Jim's mom.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Take care.